as it is written, I believed, and therefore I have spoken. I believed, and listen, people are going to use their faith on something. Negative, positive, they're going to use it on something, and they're going to speak it. You know, whatever it is, this, what can I say? I'm never going to get ahead in this economy. You're putting your faith on those words. You believed, and therefore you've spoken. So we have to be so careful. Let me see where I'm at. We are created in the image of God. He spoke, we speak. God is faith, we have His faith, a measure of His faith. Therefore, we speak. When we are facing giants in our life, we never run at our giants with our mouth shut. We don't do that. We all face many giants in life that must be conquered before we can receive and do all that God has for us. Some are more persistent than others. Speaking the word of God releases God's power to win in each conflict. Winning the war of words is necessary to win the fight of faith. 1 Samuel 17, the David and Goliath story, gives us a picture of the faith-filled words that were spoken. I'm going to go to 1 Samuel in case you guys are wondering. That were spoken, and they determined the outcome of the battle. David's word war did not begin with Goliath. It actually began with Saul. So we'll call this the pre-fight warm-up. So in 1 Samuel 17, 32, I got to make sure, 32, which one do I want? 30 through 37 is what I'm going to do. David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine. Saul said to David, you are able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth. David said to Saul, your servant was a shepherd for my father's flock, and the lion came and the bear and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him and struck him and delivered him out of his mouth. And when he arose again, I took hold of his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be as one of them because he has reviled the armies of the living God. How far am I supposed to read? 37. David said, the Lord who delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistines. So let's go to verse 42. When the Philistine looked and saw David had despised him, for he was a youth and ruddy with a handsome appearance, the Philistine said, which is Goliath, to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his God. The Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give to you your flesh to the birds of the fields and to the beasts of the field. And David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and spear and a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. See, what I'm showing you here is the war of words going on. He says something, she said something. The God of the enemies of Israel, whom you have reviled, this day will the Lord deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut your head off. That's big words for a young boy, isn't it? Then I will give the corpse of the Philistines camp to this day and the birds. And he goes on to tell him, it goes on and on, back and forth. We all know this story of David and Goliath. The real battle was before David actually killed Goliath. The war of words had to be won before victory could be consummated. Before David ran at Goliath, the war of words went on. Goliath said, David said, Goliath said, David said, David said. David ran toward the Philistine. David prevailed over the Philistine. That was his mountain. Never run at your giant with your mouth shut. Whatever that is, whether it's sickness, whether any yucky thing, whatever is a mountain to you. In Matthew 4, we see that Jesus faces Satan in the wilderness. Jesus defeated Satan by speaking the word of God. Satan said, Jesus said, Satan said, Jesus said, Satan said, Jesus said. Jesus had to say three times before the devil left. The power of speaking the word of God is evident and necessary to win the fight of faith. You know what it's like when you're believing in faith for something? Your health, your finances, your marriage, your weight, your kids, your happiness. The enemy tells you it won't work. God doesn't care. It's too far gone. It's hopeless. Why would God even think about helping me? Whatever happens, will happen. Now, what I was going to show you, and I guess Lauren doesn't have it.
You what?
You had the picture of the little stick guy? This is war. But we do not fight thoughts with thoughts. When Satan was trying to tempt Jesus, he didn't tap his head. He didn't think it. It was written. It's like this, one of those cloudy cartoons. He spoke to Satan. God has supplied the ammunition, the word power to win in every hour, every area of our lives. There is healing, there's life, there's joy, there's peace, there's happiness, there's victory, there's blessing in the word of God. It's all right there. Come here, Travis. No, really, come here. this was going to be Jake, and Jake's not here. You guys don't know it, but this is the enemy walking up here right now. All you got to do is stand here. When I was writing this, I was thinking about this. You know, when you're fighting something, have you ever seen a girl fight like this? I think I might have done this with my brother before I tried to stab him. But, it got a little. But have you ever just seen a girl go? Now, all Travis, take your hand out of your pocket. All Travis would have to, don't hit me. Okay, but just take one swing. I mean, like, see how easy it would be. And I'm going like this. I'm flinging my arms. You go sit down. That's not, sorry, Travis. You can talk to Jake about not being up here. You're giving the devil a high five. Come on. You know, you're mad and that's not how you fight the enemy. We cannot fight the enemy that way and expect to win. All Travis would have to do is one good swing and I'm gone. I'm gone. When the enemy is sending negative thoughts in your head, things will never change. I will never get a decent job where I am, where I'm happy. I'll always be overweight. This disease will never leave. I'll be in debt the rest of my life. My marriage will always be loveless. My child will never come home. Now, believe it or not, I've heard Christians talk like that. I don't know if you have or not, but I have. So I don't need to go on with more negative thoughts that the enemy will run through our head. But we run at him with our mouth wide open and full of the word. Ready? I expect God to accelerate things in my life. I'm always at the right place at the right time. I'm open to change. My family serves the Lord. My family walks in peace with each other. My family enjoys being together. My husband or my wife and I resolve conflicts quickly. And anytime you want to say amen, you just go ahead. I resolve conflicts quickly and respectfully. I'm a great role model for my kids. We honor God in our home. We are quick to forgive and let go of all hurts. Our home is a safe place. Amen. Brother Kenneth Hagin told this story about a message that he preached in 1943. The title was, What is Spirituality? He asked, where would you go to look for a spiritual person? So some people thought those who were quick to jump, quick to dance and shout. Those are the spiritual ones, they said. Brother Hagin said, you can't judge spirituality by that. Now, just as a side note, go right ahead. It's okay with me. I can handle that. Someone said in his church, so-and-so is always talking in tongues and always giving messages in tongues. So he's really spiritual. Brother Hagin said again, quote, no. You can't judge spirituality by that, because God will use any kind of vessel he can. I read where he talked through a donkey one time. That doesn't mean the donkey was spiritual. He said, if I were looking for a spiritual person, you know the first place I'd go? They all said, no. He said, I'd go to the person's home. People who are spiritual, they live right at home. If you don't live right and speak faith at home, you haven't got anything. He said, one woman in the second row said, oh my God, that lets me out. Said she didn't realize she had said that out loud. If you want health, you must speak health. So let's go to Proverbs 12:18. Let me get where I'm at here. You all are waiting for me to see if I mess this up. A man, no, wait a minute, that's another one. Boy, there's so much in Proverbs 19. I just really have trouble seeing these things, these little bitty words. There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. What you say over your health is, it says, talk wisely. This proverb means that if you also want healthy relationships to bring healing to a relationship, don't speak rashly, speak wise words. The devil fights us from getting the word of God in our mouth, such as, I don't have time to see what the word says. I'm too busy. Don't fall for it. I just hate that word, but don't fall for that one. I might sound silly if I say that. I get tickled. I've got to stop here. She will hear this, so I'll tell it anyway. But Stephanie gives doctors a fit. She literally gives them a fit. Because whatever they say, she just starts doing this. And they said, what are you shaking your head for? She said, that's not going to happen to me. I'm not going to live like that. I mean, right then and there, she states the kind of life that she's going to live. Let me tell you what, she's faced some things. And I believe she's here because of her words. What she learned here years ago. Now, I mean to tell you, she has faced some ugly stuff. But she'll just sit there and I get tickled when she tells me what she said to doctors, what she said to dentists. A dentist had to pay for a cap on her tooth because she said, I'm not losing that tooth. And it goes something like this. The doctor said, I'll give it, they gave it so long. He said, if you have to do something, I'll pay for it. Isn't that right? Am I telling something like that? The doctor ended up paying for it. The dentist ended up paying for it because she got what she said. So I'm sure they don't really look forward to her. But I love her examples. I love her. I mean, she just sets a standard. I don't know how to speak the word of God. Will it work for me? Does Terry really know what she's talking about? Reinhard Bonnke, when you look him up, they'll say that he was responsible possibly for leading 79 million people to the Lord. 79 million. The Lord told him this, my word in your mouth is just as powerful as my word in my mouth. Did you get that? My word in your mouth is just as powerful as my word in my mouth. When we get the word in our mouth, we have the answer. The answer is already in the word. We are releasing God. We're releasing God. So we have to win the war of words before we win in any area of our life. The confession of your lips that has grown out of faith in your heart will absolutely defeat the adversary in every combat. That means Satan can't win if you hold fast to your confession. So neuroscience, I always give you scientists' opinions, I have every time, is playing catch up with God's word. A leading surgeon has said that speech center in the brain exercises dominion over the whole central nervous system. He also stated that this is a recent discovery of medical science. He said that you can choose different parts of the body to respond with stimuli to corresponding parts of the human brain. But when the speech center is stimulated, the whole central nervous system responds. So let me break that down, okay? Let me break that down a little bit. When someone says, the speech center sends out the message to the whole body to prepare to be weak. This must be the reason God said in Joel 3:10, let the weak say, I am strong. So how about these declarations? I am strong. I am healthy. I'm in the best shape of my life. I'm full of energy. I have excellent stamina. I am a picture of health and vitality. I am enjoying a healthy lifestyle. I am full of life. I am radiant and youthful. Amen, Terry. Amen. What did I do with my water? Think about what your speech center is doing when you make these positive affirmations over yourself. It's on overload. You are lighting up your speech center, and your body is, if your brain's telling your body to act that way. Do a little jig, okay? You might have to work on that one, but James in 3, let me go to James, he's way over here. James, the half-brother of Jesus. Always kind of, that one's always a hard one for me to find, I just have to admit. What did I say? James 3, 2 through 5, I think. I wanted to read this one in the Message Bible, but James 3, 3, 3, 3. See how we put bits in the mouth of a horse that they may obey us, and we control their whole bodies, and observe ships, though they are so great and are driven by fierce winds, yet they are directed with a very small rudder wherever the captain pleases. Even so, the tongue is a little part of the body and boasts great things. James says the tongue will determine the direction and the destination of your life. Your tongue will also determine the quality of your life. So, ready for more? I love these. I love doing these because it makes me feel better. I'm enjoying God's goodness and mercy. I'm overwhelmed by God's favor on my life. I embrace every opportunity He brings me. I expect blessings to chase me down and overtake me. I am surrounded by the big thinkers, the big dreamers, and people of big faith. I have more than enough. God is restoring the years that were stolen from me. I have preferential treatment because of God's favor. I am God's most prized possession. I'm thriving in life. I'm programmed for success. My tongue determines my direction, my destination, and my quality of life. The most influential voice in your life is yours, your very own tongue. What's coming out of your mouth has everything to do with what you are experiencing. Just as God created the world with His words, we create our world with our words. So make it work for you. You don't like where you're at? Listen to how you're talking. Don't be intimidated to speak over yourself. 1 Peter 3:10. For he who would love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. He tells us, watch what you're saying. The funny thing is, when you go to a doctor, when something is wrong, many times the doctor is going to say, open your mouth, stick a thingy in there and say, ah, and he'll look at your tongue. When you go to God, when something is wrong, the first thing God says is, say, ah, I see the problem. It's written all over your tongue. The speech center is the dominion space for our lives. Our words make us or break us. Our words determine both our inward man and outward man. Our words determine the boundaries of our lives over words that can limit us or lose us. Man was made a speaking spirit and given dominion. Guess what? Satan also recognizes the power of the spoken word and is constantly trying to get man to speak words that contaminate, defile, and destroy. Let me tell you something. When you don't feel good, it's easy not to speak things. because you don't feel good. You just don't feel like it. When you're getting pressured by a medical bill or an unexpected car charge from some overpriced... Oh, well, that's enough. So, I owe him $60, by the way. Don't anybody let me forget. You know, you feel the pressure of that. It's not in the budget. What are you going to do? Your kid's acting ugly and maybe on drugs. What are you going... You don't feel like speaking the word, but that's our weapon. That's where our war of words are. A constant war is going on for airtime. Satan wants to stop the spoken word of God in your personal lives, as well as our city or nation. He doesn't want us to appear, or this church to say, thank you, God, for saving America. Thank you for the blood of Jesus over every boundary and every border of America. Thank you, God. He doesn't want us doing that. And does it make a difference? It absolutely makes a difference. It absolutely makes a difference. So do you know when we declare God is saving America, or Mary, America is coming into her finest hour? That drives him nuts. Numbers 14:28 in the Amplified says, tell them, as I live, says the Lord, what you have said in my hearing, I will do to you. The Israelites were grumbling and carrying on. We can't go. There were grasshoppers in their sights. We can't do it. We can't do it. And this is what God has said about the Israelites complaining and going on and on. Everyone got exactly what they said. But Joshua and Caleb won the war of words. The others said, we're just not able. We're just not able. Don't you understand, Terry? You don't know what it's like to go through that. Maybe not, but I know what the word says. Words are the mail you send out, a mail that is returned to you. Our words customize and design and specifically shape our own future. Our voice is our ticket out of Satan's domain. So I want to share two stories with you. I really like these. One I've told before, but I don't care. They're uplifting. Men who did not settle what was spoken over them. A man named Les Brown tells a story when he was in high school. He walked into a classroom just looking for a friend. But in his classroom, the teacher said, young man, go to the board and do this problem for me. He said, no, sir, I can't do the problem. This class. I'm just looking for somebody. And the whole class started laughing at him. They said, he can't do this. He's DT. The teacher said, DT, what's that? Les said, my brother Wesley's the smart twin. I'm so glad Jake's not up here. I'm the dumb twin. I've been labeled mentally retarded. DT, dumb twin. The teacher pushed his chair out from underneath the desk and pointed his fingers at him. He said, don't you ever say that again. Someone's opinion of you does not have to become your reality. Les Brown made a decision, and he began listening to audios, reading books, and that kid who was labeled DT has won an Emmy in communications, he is a best-selling author, and he's the top 5 motivational speakers in the world. Isn't it awesome? Here's my favorite one. So there was this little boy named Monty Roberts. He grew up very, very, very poor. His dad was a horse trainer. He would go from town to town training these horses. They were so poor that on the back of their truck, they had this little small camper that they slept in, and they lived in it as they traveled, as they went around. Monty said, one year he's sitting in class, and the teacher asked everybody to write a paper on what you want to be when you grow up. So Monty went through it, and he said, when I grow up, he said, I want to race horses, just like my dad, but not just any horse. I'm going to race thoroughbreds, race horses, he said. He put a lot of thought into his paper, and owning a lot of land in the California Valley. Big dreams and goals for a little boy living in a beat-up camper. He turned his paper into the teacher, And when she handed that paper back to him, this is what it said. F. See me after class. Said he was devastated and said, why did I fail this paper? The teacher said, you're a poor kid. You live in the back of a truck. You said you're going to have all this land in the valley in California? Do you even know what land costs? This is an unrealistic dream for a kid like you. If you go and rewrite your paper, I'll give you a better grade. He went home, showed his dad, and said, Dad, what do I do? And his dad said, Monty, I can't tell you what to do, but whatever you decide is going to affect the rest of your life. Monty went back the next day. He handed the paper back, in the very same paper, and he said, you keep the F, I'll keep my dream. Today, Monty Robert has that very paper framed in his mansion in California, in the valley, where in a 1 year alone, he made $6 million. You ever heard of the horse whisperer? He has written many books. Horse trainer. He's a horse trainer. He has an online university. He's a champion team roper. He's a bulldogger. Owns Flag Up Farms. Has Hollywood Park, a two-year-old thoroughbred in training. Sabiengo horse, won major races, documentaries. Plus, he developed a personal friendship thing. Is she showing you all those? To the Queen of England. A personal friendship to the Queen of England. He was personally invited to her funeral. And when he was there, and they were taking the casket by, they paused in front of him. And he cried, Satan is the identity thief. He is the identity thief that is out to kill, steal, and destroy your identity. He's a liar. We know that. He will lie to anyone who will listen. But why does he care so much about your identity? Because he knows once you figure out that you have the identity of Jesus Christ, there's no limit to what you can do. So he will work tirelessly to stop you from it. He doesn't want you fulfilling your assignment. God has an assignment for all of us. Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I made you in your mother's womb, I chose you before you were born. I set you apart for a specific work. And if anybody ever says, God doesn't give me an assignment, you're lying, because God said you did. He did do that for you. God has a special work for you, but you have to know who you are. There was this beautiful lady and friend of mine. Her children and grandchildren knew her by this saying, remember who you are. I'll just add this. I'm valuable to God. I am chosen by God. I am accepted and loved by God. I'm forgiven. That's a big by God. I'm precious in God's eyes, and I'm qualified by God. When the enemy comes at you with the ugly thoughts, remember who you are. Speak up and tell the enemy who you are. Done.